All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In the name of Allah, we start another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. This program is mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding Persian as well as Muslim dignitaries in the world of Islam, specifically the religious scholars and the Shiite scholars. And the expert invited to this program, as usual, is Dr. Fakh Rohani, who is currently a faculty member of University of Qom and is specialized in the field of Ahl-e Bayt literature and Ashura literature in English language. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakh Rohani, for accepting our invitation. I really appreciate your presence here in the seat of the Qom Islam radio station again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Regarding the life of the outstanding figures, specifically in the field of religious studies, in which we are mainly concerned in the COI radio from the whole city of Qom, this session we want to get to the life of another important one, that is Ebn Fahd Hilli. Before getting to the details of his life, I would like to give a summary and a brief summary of his, family background, and after that we get to the rest of our program, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that it was the year 757 Hijra that Ebn Fahd Hilli was born in the Hille, one of the important Shiite center in the world in the history of Islam. And his father's name originally was Shamsuddin Muhammad Ebn Fahd. They say that most of the life of, Ahmad Ibn Muhammad Ebn Fahd Hilli was in the dynasty of Jalayiriyan, which was one of the most important, Shiite dynasties of that time. And the Jalayiriyan were ruling from the year 740 Hijra to 813 in Hilla. Also, that the founder of this dynasty was Hasan Çaylıkani. And after him, Sultan Uveys and Sultan Hussein and Sultan Ahmed were ruling over Hilla. Ibn Fahd Hilli passed about 56 years of his life under the ruling of Ali Jalayir or Jalayir dynasty and in Hilla. Okay, certainly the family of Ibn Fahd Hilli had an important role in nurturing him, but also the city of Hilla has an important role too, Dr. Fakhwani. Let's talk a little bit about this city in which Ibn Fahd Hilli, like the other scholars about whom we discuss in this program, were born in that city and were nurtured and were grown and grown up in that city. Let's talk a little bit about this city. What is the importance of Hilla in the history of Islam?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The city of Hilla is a city in the region of Babylon in Mesopotamia, in central Iraq. Babylon, etymologically speaking, it means the gate of the city of God.
Okay.
And the city of Hilla was originally built by Saif ad-Dawla, who was one of the monarchs of the Mazid dynasty. I mean, all of them were Shiite, rulers over there. There was a place locally called the Jama'an, and the Shiite rulers of the Al-Mazid, the Mazid dynasty, decided to build a new city near Jama'an. That city was in the hands of the Mazid dynasty rulers. Little by little, this city, the name and designation of this city was changed from Jama'an to Hilla. The city of Hilla, since it was populated by, Muslim people and especially Shiite people, it made a great city, a very renowned city, because of its Shiite population. However, there's another reason. You know that the the Abbasid dynasty was terminated because of the Mughal invasion into Islamic countries,
right,
and especially into Baghdad, mm-hmm, as the seat of the Abbasid caliphs. Not only in the time of the Umayyad dynasty and Umayyad rulers, but also in the time of the Abbasid rulers, Shiites were always under suppression, and they were denied, I mean, the least civil opportunities and freedom. Because of this oppression and because of this pressure or double pressure on the Shiite communities in Iraq, Shiite communities in Iraq couldn't go to Najaf for residence. Rather, they preferred to stay at the city of Hilla, at least because of the the Mazid dynasty, who were Shiite.
That's right.
Okay, and it made a ground for them. I mean, both geographically and politically, it made mm-hmm. a ground for them to make a center for Shiite populations. I mean, in central Iraq.
So one of them was being safe from the invasions of Mughal Empire, as you
yes,
said. That's right.
Yes.
That's
yes.
right. Okay.
And another one is that after the Mazid dynasty, the Jalayir dynasty, mm-hmm. Ruled over there, but they were also Shiites, and they made good ground for Shiites to flourish in the region, in the city of Hilla. And little by little it was in this way until it was superseded by Najaf.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, Hilla never matched Najaf in eminence and flourishing.
That's right.
However, before Najaf, Hilla made a very good place for academic development of the Shiite thought in central Iraq.
Now let's get to the life of Ebn Fath Hilli, okay?
Yes, yes.
Ebn Fath Hilli was one of the outstanding figures, born in Hilla, grown up over there under, the custodian of his parents, which were really had an important role in nurturing him. And now let's get a little bit to his mentors, okay?
Yes.
Let's enumerate one by one some of his outstanding mentors who have been there. What fields of studies, in fact, were they specialized in?
Yes.
Let's start one by one, Dr. Fahd.
Okay, yes. Ibn Fahd al-Hilli was credited with having a very erudite and knowledgeable professors and mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, as recorded in history books, are as follows. Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Khazin al-Ha'iri. The designation al-Ha'iri indicates that this person was basically, by residence, he belonged to the city of Karbala.
Okay.
Sheikh Ahmad ibn Mutawaj Bahrani.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great mystic and Quran exegete. Ziyaddin Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Makki.
Mm-hmm.
He was the son of the first martyr, Shahid Abbal. Okay?
That's right.
Ali ibn Yusuf ibn Abdul Jalil Nili. Bahauddin Ali ibn Abdul Karim ibn Abdul Hamid.
Mm-hmm.
He was an expert in genealogy. Please note that in Islamic discussions and in Islamic scholarship, a sound knowledge of genealogy makes a part and parcel of hadith evaluation.
Very good.
Okay. Sayyid Jamaluddin ibn Araj Husseini Fazil Miqdad, who was one of the most renowned Shiite theologians,
mm-hmm.
One of the most important Shiite theologians. Jalaluddin Abdullah ibn Sharafshah, Hassan ibn Abul Hassan al-Daydami, he was a very important mystic, and he was the author of a very important book in Islamic mystical instructions, generally known as Irshad al-Qulub. Okay, Irshad al-Qulub is a very important book of Hassan ibn Abul Hassan al-Daylami.
Very good.
And finally, I should like to mention the name of Nizamuddin Ali ibn Abdul Hamid al-Nili.
Mm-hmm.
He was, Ibn Fahd al-Hilli was credited with having very fine and erudite professors.
That's right. Thank you very much. The rank of Ibn Fahd al-Hilli is always appreciated. Very much by the other scholars too.
Yes.
They say somehow that he reached to some levels of the, we can say, knowledge, divine knowledge that nobody reached before or after him, okay?
Yes.
What is exactly this exception? Well, what exactly makes Ibn Fath al-Li exceptional from the other scholars in this field of study, Dr. Fakh?
Yes, I should like to say that perhaps one of the most important traits of the life of religio-academic contributions of the late Ibn Fath al-Hilli was because of his sincere devotion to Islamic topics and Islamic discussion, especially mystical topics.
That's right.
He was one of three scholars who attained the highest degree and the highest rank of Islamic and Shiite mysticism. According to the late Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Qazi Tabatabai, who was a renowned mystic in Shiite world, throughout the history, other than the infallible imams, only three persons attained the highest mystical order or climax. These three people, or these three persons in specific, were Sayyid ibn Tawus, Ahmad ibn Fahd al-Hilli, the person with which we are concerned right now, and finally Sayyid Mahdi Bahrul Ulum, who was credited with having the opportunity of viewing and talking with Imam al-Mahdi several times.
Well, what made them exception from the other scholars, Dr. Fakhrani?
Attaining the highest mystical level and illumination.
That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Let's get to some of the outstanding pupils and we can say the students who enjoyed the presence of Ibn Fath al-Li. Would you enumerate some of them for us?
Yes. Since the late Ibn Fath al-Li used to teach at the Za'iyya school in the city of Halle, he had the opportunity of educating a number of important people, among them Ibn Tay, who was a great scholar and the author of the book Masail Ibn Tay, the issues, the highest academic issues or topics addressed by Ibn Tay, Ibn Ashari, who was a very important faqih scholar, Ahmad ibn Muhammad Bahrani ibn Rashid Qatifi, Sheikh Shamsuddin Muhammad Hawlani Amili, Zahiruddin ibn Ali Aynafi Amili, Sheikh Abdul Sami ibn Fayyaz Asadi Ali ibn Halal Jazairi, and also the following scholars: Ali ibn Fazl ibn Haykal, Sayyid Muhammad ibn Fallah Musawi al-Huwaisi, Sayyid Muhammad Nurbakhsh, Sayyid Muflih ibn Hassan Saymuri, Izzuddin Hassan ibn Ahmad ibn Fazl Maruni al-Amili, and Shamsuddin ibn Izzuddin ibn Abil Qasim al-Husayni.
That's right. Each of these scholars you mentioned, they were outstanding figures in the history of Islam and the Shiite studies. Let's have the specialties of Ibn Fath al-Li and his books on compilations after taking a break, okay?
Okay.
Listening to a religious song, and after we continue our discussion on the life and works of Ibn Fath al-Li.
You are very special, there's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You are very special, there's only one of you. You are very special, and remember I love you. You were made by Allah, unique in all your ways. You were made by Allah to praise Him all your days.
Welcome back, dear audience from around the world. The rest of another edition of the program, The Immortals, which in this session is mainly concerned with the life of Ahmad Ibn Fath al-Li, is coming to you from the Kalbistan radio station. Dr. Farhwani, now let's get to the compilations, okay. The works and the compilations and their specialties. Before the compilations, I would like to ask you,
yes,
what fields of study exactly Ahmad ibn Fath Hilli was specialized in?
He was specialized in mysticism and, mm-hmm. according to his publications, in the field of history as well.
That's right.
Okay.
These were the outstanding
books,
okay?
Yes,
yes, yes. Okay. Among his books,
Al-Aw'iyyat wal-Futun, another book, Al-Istikhraj al-Hawadith. I mean, in this book, Istikhraj al-Hawadith, he explicated on some of the quotations from Imam Ali regarding the Mughal invasion.
You mean it was a prediction?
Yes, yes, yes. The predictions, really? I mean, obtainable from the speeches of Imam Ali. Asrar al-Salat, secrets of Salat, I mean the obligated ritual prayer. Bughyat al-Raghibin, Tariq al-A'imma. Tariq al-A'imma is concerned with a catalogue of the life and times of the infallible Imams. Al-Tahsin fi Sifat al-Arifin. This is a mystical treatise on the, I mean, mystical value and position of the infallible Imams. Ad-Durar al-Farid fi al-Tawheed. This is a treatise on monotheism. Ad-Durr al-Nadid, a treatise on the merits and virtues of congregational prayer. Another treatise or book on the obligatory or the mandatory rituals in performing Hajj in Mecca. An exposition of Kitab al-Irshad by Allama al-Hilli, Sharh al-Alfiyyah of the first Mahdi, and Sharh al-Nafliyyah, again of the late, the first Mahdi. Yes. And another book is Uddat al-Da'i wa Najah al-Sa'i. This book concerns, some instructions regarding, ritual prayers and some complementary prayers, mm-hmm. and rituals, such as, offering prayers or how to recite the Holy Quran and so on.
That's right. That's right.
Another one, Misbah al-Mubtada wa Hidayat al-Muqtada. This is a mystical treatise. Al-Muqtasar min Sharh al-Muqtasar, Al-Muhadhab al-Bari'. This is a fiqh-oriented treatise or book. Mm-hmm. According to fiqh scholars, this is perhaps the most important fiqh-oriented book of Ibn Fath al-Hilli. And finally, the book An-Nujum.
That's right.
Yes. Astronomy. Yes.
Among the compilations and in the life of Ibn Fath al-Hilli, that they say that he emphasized two important factors. One of them was prayer, and the other one supplication. Okay.
Yes.
And they say that up to the last moments of his life, he was always emphasizing on these two matters. He had also a journey to Jabal Amel. Okay.
Yes.
Another important Shiite center. What about this trip, Dr. Farhwani?
Yes. When he was at the age of 67, he took a trip to Jabal Amel in southern Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
He went there. He went to the village Jezin, and he received a license for quoting and relating hadiths from the son of the first martyr, Shahid al-Awwal.
That's right.
And perhaps he was in quest of other things for taking a trip to southern Lebanon. According to some historical records, he might be after taking a trip to Beit al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, in order to pay a visit to the holy places over there.
That's right. That's right. Also, he migrated at the end of his life. He migrated to Karbala. Okay.
Yes.
And they say that he had much respect for Imam Al Hussein over there. Is it true, Dr. Fah?
He was very careful about the city of Karbala, and in the city of Karbala, he had a very small garden,
mm-hmm.
and he was very, very careful to enter the sacred sanctuary of Imam al-Hussein, mm-hmm. I mean, in a state of, I mean, ritual purity and ritual readiness.
That's right.
So he was very cautious in this regard. And this comes from the profound attention he used to pay to his own deeds and acts. This comes from his piety.
That's right.
I mean, this attention, this extra and due attention comes from his piety.
They say that there's also a very nice, we can say, incident happening yes. in the life of Ibn Fadhili, yes. and that is in the year 840, in which Ibn Fadhili, which was, we can say, 84 years from the rulers of Baghdad, Mirza Ispand, was invited
yes.
in order to have a debate with the Sunni scholars over there, and Ibn Fadhili was one of those Shiite scholars who truly, we can say, defended the Shiite denomination over there. What was exactly this debate about, Dr. Fakhrani?
Yes, the debate was, was concerned with the point that whether the Shiite denomination was the right denomination or the Sunni denomination was right.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very critical debate and discussion, Ibn Fath al-Hilli was successful in proving the righteousness of the Shiite denomination, and it led Ispan Mirza,
mm-hmm.
The ruler of Baghdad, I mean the ruler of the city of the region of Baghdad, to change his denomination, his religious denomination, from Sunnism to Shiism. And according to this conversion, the newly converted Shiite ruler of Baghdad ordered his agents to mention on the coins the names of Shiite imams.
At the time of Ispan Mirza, okay.
Yes, Ispan Mirza.
Ispan Mirza, that's right.
Yes, and he stated Shiism as the state religion.
An official state religion. That's
yes.
right. Also, Ibn Fadhili is appreciated and admired from the tongues of the other scholars too a lot during the outer history, okay, Dr. Fakhrani?
Yes.
Who were exactly those scholars who appreciated him?
Well, several scholars talked about the late Ibn Fath al-Hilli, for example, Mirza Hussein al-Nuri,
mm-hmm.
the author of Mustadrak al-Wasa'il, and perhaps one of the, and undoubtedly the greatest hadith scholar in recent times up to now, described Ibn Fath al-Hilli as a person who has attained the highest mystical levels,
mm-hmm.
And states, and also Muhammad Taghi al-Majlisi also described him as a very renowned and prominent figure in mysticism, in piety, Islamic ethics, and zealousness toward reaching the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In a like way, Muhaqqiq al-Tusteri described him as one of the most illuminated scholars, and a scholar who can make and can be regarded as the role model for other mystics.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrohani, for your nice elaboration on the life and works of Ibn Fadhili. And now let me just a little bit talk about his demise, okay?
Fine.
They say that it was the year 841 and Ibn Fadhili was 85 years old, and he was just passing his last moments of his life, and at the end he passed away in the city Karbala. As I said, at the end of his life he migrated to Karbala and passed his last moments of life over there. He passed away over there, and his funeral ceremony and his burial ceremony was held by the Shiite Salafiyin, and his tomb is very much visited by so many people from around the world, and they pay homage to his vacancy tomb over there in Karbala. They say that his tomb nowadays is in a madrasa, in one of the religious madrasa over there in Karbala, and is the visiting tomb of so many people around the world. And this was the life and works of Ahmad Ibn Fadhili, another outstanding Shiite scholar. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani, for your presence in this program.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And dear audience from around the world, this is the end to another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Kalvistan radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. For more information, you can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Enjoy.